Welcome to the Productivity Podcast. Delighted today to be joined by Kim Hill and Wayne Schneider from Blue Yonder. Hi both, how are you doing?
Hi, very well, thanks. How are you?
Hi, yeah, good, Simon. Thanks.
Hey Kim, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. So Kim, you're a WFM solution advisor, EMEA, and Wayne, you're the VP of retail strategy for EMEA, both for Blue Yonder. Now, we'll come back to Blue Yonder in a second and how we've got to this name, because I think it's been through a few incarnations over the last couple of years. Normally something that involves a colour. But if we find out a bit more about you both first, Kim, let's start with you. So currently, as I said, WFM Solution Advisor in EMEA. What's your background and how did you get to be in this role?
I've actually been with Blue Yonder for 16 years. You can probably tell from my accent that I've not been EMEA-based my entire life. I started with a company called Store Perform based in Denver, Colorado. And Store Perform, who was a task management company, I moved over to London in 2006 in order to support some customer projects that we had here. Also did some work in India. And then transitioned into workforce management in about 2007 or 8 and have been working in that space ever since.
Awesome. And Wayne, VP of Retail Strategy, that's a grand title. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that and how you landed in that role?
Yeah, sure. So I joined Blue Yonder about 2.5 years ago. Prior to that, I'd spent 20-something years working in retail, working for a variety of the largest retailers, supporting them on some of their strategic work and supply chain development work. Within Blue Yonder, really, my role is to work both internally and externally with customers to really make sure we're abreast of what's happening in the retail marketplace and ensure that our innovation stays ahead of the trends.
Cool. And there's certainly a lot happening in the retail space at the moment, which we'll touch on in a second. And do you just want to talk us through the kind of incarnations of the company? We're kind of Blue Yonder now, but I know you've been part of JDA. People may remember you as Red Prairie or even Blue Cube, was it? So it'd be good
That's correct.
Could just take us through those incarnations.
Yeah. So we've been working in workforce management for over 30 years. The product originated with Blue Cube in the late 80s. And then in 2006, Blue Cube was acquired by Red Prairie. And then in 2013, Red Prairie and JDA merged. JDA actually did have a workforce management solution, but the Red Prairie solution has been the go-forward product since that acquisition. And then now we're obviously Blue Yonder.
So Wayne, I don't know if you've got any more insight you can share on Blue Yonder, because it might be a name that's not familiar to some people.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting kind of incarnation. So as Kim said, JDA was a well-known brand name within the marketplace, and we cover WFM, as Kim said, but also the whole end-to-end supply chain. So from planning and category management software for grocers, for demand forecasting, replenishment capabilities, warehousing, transportation, store operations. So we cover that whole end-to-end of the supply chain. And really kind of the JDA has been an exceptionally strong brand name for about 30 years. But we acquired a company around 2 years ago, which was actually called Blue Yonder. It was a German company that was really focused around machine learning and artificial intelligence. And they developed some real market leading models and capabilities to support retailers to get much better accuracy and to utilize artificial intelligence in a lot of kind of significant ways. So we acquired this business really, which was really a culmination of a lot of the change we've been making in the organization to transform us to being a real innovation, kind of, I say, AI-led organization. And we decided last February, so what's that, 7-8 months ago, but I think for all of us feels like it was a lifetime ago, February, to rebrand our whole organization from JDA to take on the Blue Yonder mantle, really just to kind of signify our transformation as an organization to being kind of really kind of at the forefront of this innovation that's happening in the marketplace.
Right, I'm up to speed now. I know where we are and who you are, which is good. But ultimately, there's a strong theme through, regardless of the name, of a really strong workforce management product that's seen its life through to where you are today in terms of Blue Yonder. So there's a strong backbone to all of those various incarnations, which is good. So you touched on automation, AI, machine learning. clearly, if we focus on retail, times are tough. They have been this year for obvious reasons. And my assumption is when things settle to whatever that looks like moving forward, it's still going to be tough in retail. Automation has had an impact and will continue to. So where do you, maybe we start with you, Wayne, see automation impacting stores and customers, kind of where we sit today, and then maybe casting our minds further forward?
I think the first thing to start with is automation is already there in a lot of things that people don't even notice. So people will be engaging maybe with a chatbot and don't realize they're talking to a robot. You know, behind the scenes, in terms of how products have been delivered to that store, there's a lot of automation and robotics happening. In terms of predicting the customer, then again, machine learning is really at the heart of that. So there are a lot of automations already in place for people. And a lot of it actually, I'd say, is kind of hidden from the consumer. I think if we compare the European marketplace to maybe Asia, where the use of robotics kind of as a in the storefront is much more prevalent, we're really not there yet in Europe. It tends to be more kind of the back of house. But I think what we're going to see through as a result of COVID is a lot of those changes kicking in. We're seeing, obviously, the acceleration of online been significant over the last few months. And I think that's really going to really force us forward to digitize the store in a completely different way. Because I think some of the measures that we're seeing in stores in terms of social distancing will be with us for a while, but also just our mentality as a consumer. You know, I always used to joke with people when it came to online that, you know, if you're an alien that came down from space, you would have thought that 90% of retail revenue was online. But the reality is 90% was in the store. But I think as a result of COVID, I think mentally we've kind of shifted ourselves quite a lot. And I think that this digitalization of the store that's been talked about for quite a while is really going to see an acceleration. And I think automation is going to play a key part of that because, again, efficiencies are going to be really important. Retailers, as you say, it's a difficult time for them. And efficiency is going to be a real kind of key enabler for organizations going forward. You know, any fat that existed in the past is really going to have to be streamlined a lot more going forward. So I think that we're going to see a lot more of automation, both in terms of the back office and also in terms of the consumer experience as well.
Clearly, I think there'll always be a need for human intervention, if that makes sense. But my hypothesis moving forward is that we'll automate, and I talk the royal we as in retail, we'll automate all the low-hanging tasks, all the maybe the repetitious tasks to free up time for people to do the, people have called it for years, the retail theatre, or the bit that's going to make it an exceptional experience to keep people in bricks and mortars and almost pull them back from the online channels. Otherwise, we'll end up with a high street that's pretty bleak.
Oh, no. So, yeah, 100%. I mean, I think for me, there are three areas of automation that you see. One is, as you said, kind of those repetitive tasks that actually, you know, as humans, we're quite happy to shed because we find them quite boring. Two is automation allows you to do things at a scale that we just can't possibly do as humans. And then thirdly, a lot of the automation allows for efficiencies that, again, you know, are beyond what we can do as human beings. But actually, there's a lot we can do as humans that automation cannot replace. And as you said, that personal touch, I think, is going to be even more important going forward and is a key differentiator. I think people, we all know it now, sat in our rooms, we're all missing that personal touch, that human relationship that you just can't replicate in any way, shape or form with anything else.
No, absolutely. And Kim, how is this going to affect kind of workforce management and scheduling and all the component parts that make up the solution?
I think that it's going to offer a lot of exciting opportunity, actually, for retailers, and so that they can really transform the experience that customers are going to have and leverage their workforce in order to deliver that. So instead of the workforce having to focus on some of those tedious, repetitive, more operational tasks, they can actually focus more on the type of service that they're delivering to the customers, the experience, so that they can increase that loyalty and really take ownership of the brand. Now, from a workforce management standpoint, that means that, you know, their roles within the stores are going to change, and we're going to have to adapt those models so that we're scheduling in a way that's going to support that transformation of the brands and that improved customer experience.
So historically, and tell me if I'm wrong, things like checkouts have been schedule based on the shape of transactions, so historic transactions, maybe even a forecast transaction. If automation in its truest sense comes to fruition, we probably end up with less human sat on the till, so more self-checkout. I'm sure all three of us have been in supermarkets and done self-pay on our mobile app. So you take away that ability to use that data source to plan checkout resource. So again, one of the things I've been thinking about is maybe, and retailers have played with footfall for years, sometimes it's expensive to get into, sometimes the data is not accurate, but we're in a world now where it's a much easier point of entry, the data is much more accurate, and you can even get footfall within stores by departments. Maybe one of the things that changes is the way the solutions are set up, so that EPOS isn't as big a driver of planning people for front-end activity, and it is footfall or even another metric that we've not thought about yet. I don't know if you've been thinking about that, Kim.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a lot of different types of sensors and IoT devices that we are seeing retailers experiment more with, where they've always kind of provided a lot of data. But now I think that we're at a point where we can leverage that data and have a better understanding of what's happening within our stores, not necessarily just, when are they coming through the doors, or, when are those transactions happening at the tills, but where exactly are they in the stores? How much time are they spending in these different areas? And then how can we elevate the service that we're providing them so that, again, we can be informative, we can support that brand, we can provide a more unique experience for the customer, but leveraging some of those new sensors in the stores in order to drive that insight so that we can kind of redirect how we want our workforce to be executing within the stores.
And I think a good example of that, and Wayne, you've probably seen and been talking a lot to your customer base in retail about this, is the rise of omnichannel. And I'm not a massive fan of the word multi-channel, omnichannel kind of in retail. There's not many omnichannel retailers, lots still in the multi-channel bracket, I think, aspiring to get there. But that gives us a different service point and probably some different problems, as we see in lots of our work study and efficiency and productivity reviews, of the growth organically, even pre-COVID, and I'm sure exponentially during COVID and post, causes lots of problems in terms of the storage, the triage, the retrieval of the parcels and the packages, but also doesn't really give us a data point, because lots of organizations now, there's no record of you picking it up. They may scan something, others just kind of tick it off a sheet or an automated kind of checkboard. So again, you must have been thinking about that and having those conversations about how that's starting to affect the operation and how you can best place people to deliver that increased demand from customers without really knowing when they're coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Absolutely. It changes everything. I think it's a great example also of both the strength and weakness of automation. So I think that, the increase in online sales in the grocery sector during COVID was just unpredictable, 2 to 3 times growth in the space of weeks. And what we saw is those supermarkets that were highly automated actually found it much more difficult to scale up than those that are actually able to very just quickly recruit humans and yes, it's throw bodies at the problem. That was an area where actually automation is just has a negativity that it's great for efficiency, but cannot scale in the same way as you can just, recruit people. And I think as a result, what we saw is obviously the tasks that people are performing in those supermarkets are changing. So not only is it changing the people, it's also changing what they're doing. So we're seeing a lot of supermarkets as a result taking space off the shop floor and keeping more products round the back so that, again, they can satisfy their omnichannel shopper or their online shopper in a faster and quicker, which, again, changes the tasks that people are doing, changes the orientation of the store, changes what products you potentially have available in the store. So it's really shifting everything. And I think it changes the mindset very much when it comes to thinking about the store away from what you're actually going to sell in any given day in that store, and actually what is the purpose of the store. It could be a fulfillment center, it could be a marketing point, it could be a return center. It's fulfilling multitude of tasks over and above simply what the traditional transactions. And that's why I sometimes feel that the understandable strategy of a lot of retailers to close stores now, given the growth of online, is actually the wrong strategy to do, because we know from all the statistics, customers prefer buying from places that can provide the omnichannel experience. And the ability to be able to buy maybe from one channel and return to another or ask a question in another is becoming increasingly imperative. And that, again, impacts exactly what how many staff you need in your stores and also the tasks that they're going to do. Went today and I needed to buy a laptop. And I chose actually go to a store because I wanted to get some personal inputs from the salesperson. And I won't name the brand, but the person that spoke to me, the sales assistant, was unbelievably rude. So I walked out. And again, you know, if a store really wants me to get in my car and make the effort to go on to go to it competing against online, then that is just doubly unacceptable in these times. So I think it's going to make retailers think a lot more about who their staff are, what they are, how trained they are, what their role is, because it's going to be much more multi-purpose going forward.
Kim, on the workforce management front, I assume it kind of throws the rules out the window, because if there's more space given over maybe behind the scenes or not even behind the scenes for fulfilling online demand, that actually means you could run people in the store and they could work 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the operations of the store are going to change immensely as you're, you know, supporting the different channels and the different types of customer needs that you have. Your operations may run 24/7, but you can still support the needs of the workforce in a way that gives them that kind of work-life balance so that you're not overworking them, right? So balancing the shifts in the types of tasks that they're doing, as Wayne was saying, modifying what your labor model needs to look like to adapt to those changes. But you also need to be sure that you're doing that in a way that is still balancing the needs of your staff, their preferences, their personal lives, so that you're retaining, you know, their loyalty and avoiding the situations like Wayne was saying, where you have staff that are maybe not as knowledgeable as they need to be and therefore rude and not representing the brand, right? The staff are important. We need to be sure that they are ensuring that we have a loyal customer, but we also need to be sure that we're supporting the changes in the operations.
And those colleague demands, I assume, will continue to change, as we've talked about for a number of years, this gig economy. I think as unemployment grows, and unfortunately we've seen a big growth in it over the last 6 months, haven't we? And I'm sure, unfortunately, again, it'll continue to grow maybe for the next 6 months. We will, again, organically move to that gig economy where, maybe not through choice, people have more than one job for more than one employer in maybe retail and hospitality, even in different verticals. So do you think that will help retailers, or again, is it just more of a balancing act of you've got the volatility of the current environment and the uncertainty of the future environment, but you've also got this, as you've described there, along with kind of unemployment and people in 1, 2, 3, 4 jobs, different colleague demands to bring together in a place where you've got kind of one view of the truth?
So I think that employees right now are actually more loyal to their employees than before COVID happened, right? Everyone is placing, you know, higher value in their job, ensuring that they can maintain it and they can represent and take pride in their employer, right? We're definitely seeing some increases in that. I think that businesses have always wanted more flexibility out of their staff, and the introduction of added gig economy and workforce moving between different retailers, I actually think is going to strike a nice balance between the flexibility that retailers would like from their staff and this increased flexibility that the staff actually want, because they are having to balance not only potentially having multiple jobs, but also a lot of volatility within their own lives, where their kids may be going to school during different time frames. Their partner also has a very kind of ever-evolving schedule themselves, whether they're working from home or partially working on site. So they need to have that flexibility as well. And so I think that there's going to be an actually interesting balance between the retailers being able to schedule their staff in a more flexible way, and the staff being able to take more ownership over, you know, when they're available, picking exactly what shifts they want, and being able to do that across multiple employers.
I mean, I think one of the things that's most pleased me during this whole recent time is we've definitely seen an uptick in collaboration across different retailers. So, you know, if you look traditionally in the workforce management, I think often things were very kind of store specific. So even the ability for individuals to work across multiple stores wasn't necessarily something that a lot of retailers did. Whereas now we're seeing those sorts of things. And then the ability for retailers to collaborate with each other or people outside the retail realm. So you have an employee who is really very flexible and is very happy to work across two or three people. You can find the relationship that suits both the employee and the employer is going to become even more imperative. So I think that, you know, the ability to share kind of resources amongst different organizations is going to work well for the retailer and also for the individual as well.
The reality is there's never been probably a more important time to have a workforce management solution, because trying to manage that without a core way of putting all that data in and understanding who's available when and where, a bit of a minefield without something.
It's now an impossible. And I would also say from an employee perspective as well, you know, if you look often in the work environment, it's, I'll use the term unacceptable, I think, that so much of what we often use in the work environment is actually less technologically innovative than actually the things that we use in our home. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when today a lot of organizations are still using very basic tools, or they're using pen and paper in many different respects, it's really an abdication of responsibility, because we wouldn't use that in our everyday life. So the fact that actually workforce management tools not only provide you the flexibility, but also provide you kind of the mobility and the instantaneous nature that we all demand in the modern life, I think is going to be an imperative for not only the retailer, but also for the employee. I think Kim's got some great insights in terms of a lot of our customers. They will claim the biggest benefit they find is actually their employees and the satisfaction they gain for it as much as what the employer does.
Yeah, it's interesting when you walk into a store and you've got better tech in your hand on your iPhone or Android phone than the colleague has access to. And clearly then you can go on Amazon and you've got the world at your fingertips. Yeah, it always amazes me how you can put colleagues on the back foot instantly without giving them the right tech and tools to do the job.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, leveraging things like employee self-service and giving employees both visibility and control over their working lives was something that was a big component when it came to, you know, change management and adoption of a workforce management system. But today, with what's going on and the huge amount of volatility and unknown, you know, with what's going to happen over the next 6 to 9 months, as you said, Simon, I think that those things that used to be benefits of, you know, successfully implementing a solution have now become very critical in the businesses being able to adapt and be agile to this changing environment, where they can change their models so that operationally they are compliant to some of the legislation and guidelines that are coming down from the government, communicate down to their staff effectively, but then also have that feedback loop from their staff so that they can tell their employers, hey, I'm experiencing COVID symptoms, or I need to change my availability because something's happened within my personal life, my family, or I need to actually pick up additional shifts and overtime, right? So this is becoming much more imperative in order to support what's happening today. And it's not just about, you know, the implementation and adoption anymore.
And we're also seeing a lot of retailers looking to implement tools like Microsoft Teams, as an example, which is moving beyond, as you know, just simply some sort of video platform, more about engagement with their employees. Our workforce management solution integrates seamlessly into Microsoft Teams because we've got a very strong strategic relationship with Microsoft. But entities like that, we're seeing a lot of retailers putting a lot more attention about how do they treat their employee. How do they communicate them? As you said, not put them in that difficult situation where their customer knows a lot more than they do.
Yeah, and I think it's becoming that, I'd call it foundation or bedrock, where employees, when they have choice of where to work, will be looking for organisations that are forward-thinking, innovative, that can give them choices of when they can consume data. But also, if you think back to the start of this year, there was numerous organizations, not just in retail, that really, really, really struggled to communicate to every single worker in the store, the factory, wherever it was, because they were used to cascading that information through leadership. And all of a sudden, when I need to get a message to every single employee in my organization, maybe also know they've opened it, read it, understood it, responded, however it, whatever they might be looking at in a global pandemic, I think it's really opened some companies' eyes to that big, big bottleneck of relying on one person or a few people to communicate to the many, when actually in the modern day and age with self-service and comms apps and all the other things there, they can just go direct.
I think it's not just the store. Blue Yonder as a company is largely a work from home business. I mean, we've got offices all over the globe, but actually most of our associates kind of work from home, and then obviously at customers specifically. And one of the things I noticed myself, having worked, kind of come from a retail environment where every day I was in an office, is the importance of communication. Because when you're not actually sat next to somebody physically, and you don't have, as you correctly said, that trickle-down effect or even the water cooler effect, communication is an imperative. And I think that work from home and all the things that you're talking about is going to place an even greater impact in terms of how people communicate. And workforce management tools are an imperative part of that.
We've not really touched on task, because I think that the whole task management piece again becomes more important. There's, you know, lots of stuff as we speak today around COVID checklists and more cleaning routines that people want to, for the right reasons, make customers feel safe in their environment, but also organizations want the reassurance and the confirmation that it's been done. So have you seen those changes come through in a kind of task management way, and where do you expect it to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that goes kind of hand in hand with some of the operational changes that we're seeing, especially from a health and safety perspective. We're seeing new policies and procedures and standard operating practices that need to be implemented very, very quickly, with confirmation that things have been administered in terms of training and checklists that need to be completed on a daily or, you know, multiple points during the day, so that they can ensure that they're keeping their staff and their customers safe, as well as being compliant to the government guidelines. And I think that we're going to see a continued need to task the associates as the role of those stores are changing as well. So as they become hubs for fulfillment, that they're receiving the tasks in relation to orders that they need to pick, and doing those in an efficient way, so that we're still preserving the productivity targets and budgets of the stores.
Alongside that, I think whether it be in terms of scheduling or task management as well, I think one of the things that we're seeing is going to be a huge differentiator over the next few years is the utilization of kind of machine learning capabilities. So, you know, if you look historically, a lot of decisions about how to schedule people, schedule tasks, have been very, I'll say, backward looking in many respects, you know, looking at how you've done it in the past. But actually things are moving on so fast. So we talked about the omnichannel, the different tasks that's going to give, the regulations that Kim talked about and how that affects things. And what we're finding is the use of things like machine learning forecasting and then some AI capabilities around optimization are really allowing you to schedule and task your staffs in very different ways than you're able to do in the past, because it's able to understand those shifts much faster and much quicker. You know, in the early days of COVID, as a phenomenally strong example, what you'd been doing the week before kind of lockdown hit and what you're doing the week after significantly changes. And when those things were done in a very manual way, all our research told us that actually it was very difficult for our retailers, because they were trying to do things in a manual way at a time that actually a lot of, they were struggling to actually have resource available. So we saw, obviously, you know, a lot of staff being off for a variety of different reasons during that time. So we're seeing that the use of these new technologies like AI and machine learning to forecast forward and task people based on forward-looking views rather than back-looking views is going to become even more important going forward as well.
In summary, it's about looking forward, because certainly the last, well, when we get to 12 months history is probably not going to tell us a lot from a scheduling point of view. Keeping those colleagues engaged and providing them those tools that I think they expect now as a foundation level of employment is going to be critical moving forward. But also that whole piece around what can you automate? What tasks can you take away to colleagues? I don't think it's about having less colleagues. I think it's about refocusing them to sell, to upsell, to make sure you're delivering the brand promise and the brand experience. So I think, although it's been difficult times, I think there's also some exciting times to come as these things evolve and the tech will just grow and grow and move quickly and evolve quickly based on new things we understand and new things we learn. So I think you guys are in for a busy time and a fascinating time as well.
Yeah, hopefully. We look forward to it.
So I know you know this one's coming. Final question then for both of you. We'll start with you, Kim. What's the best bit of business advice you've ever been given?
The best bit of advice, probably applicable to business and obviously beyond, would be to, you know, spend more time listening rather than trying to compile what your response is going to be to questions. So asking more questions, spending more time listening to the people around you, I think would be the best bit of advice, but something to apply not just from a business perspective, but to a personal perspective, because I think that that's how you're able to, you know, build relationships and credibility.
And Wayne, for you?
So I know it sounds an obvious one, but it was look after the customer. I think that a lot of retailers will tell you that they're customer first, but if you delve underneath it, not all of them always live up to that mantra. And I think in my early part of my career, I kind of almost was taught that organizations should be based around organizational efficiency. And then actually I had an epiphany when I was at John Lewis. It's an organization that I have a lot of respect for, but actually I would say its biggest strength is precisely that. It tries to look after the customer. And I think that in essence has been a kind of a key source of its success. And obviously now Amazon being the big Goliath on the street, again, everything it does is about trying to work well for the customer. Obviously, they're efficient. They're all the things behind the scenes. But when you're singularly focused and thinking about what does the customer want, what are they going to want, and how are they evolving, I think that that is the only way that retail today is going to survive.
Good. I love those two. Well done. And if people want a further conversation with either of you, where's the best place for them to pick that up?
I'm on LinkedIn, where they can certainly contact me, or my email, kim.hill@blueyonder.com, for anything workforce management related.
And similar, wayne.snyder, that's snyder@blueyonder.com, or also just go to blueyonder.com. All the information that you might find is there. And then I'm sure any of our colleagues will be very happy to help anybody.
Well, it's been a pleasure to chat, guys, and look after yourselves, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Simon.